Welcome everybody to High Tech on the Low, episode 101. I am sitting here with my good friend Moshe. Moshe, how are you this morning?
Hey Jordan, thank you. I'm very good. You're really excited to be here.
Amazing. We're really excited to have you here today.
Thank you.
We have Moshe, who is the VP R&D at Ramon Space, very well known for their efforts in the space field and space technology, and in kind of pushing that next frontier, we can really call it, forward.
Yep.
And as always, we are sponsored by Front Team and JB Upscale. And as always, too, this is a little different. We've actually changed the podcast studio today, and we are being hosted at ThinkUp Studios, which is a great headquarters for startup growth and startup founders, as always. So that's what we get to talk about a little bit today in our little discussion here on the world of space. So Moshe, let's just get right into it and kind of give us a little introduction about who you are and what you guys are doing at Ramon Space.
Yes, thank you, Jordan, of this opportunity. So again, my name is Moshe Noah. I'm really proud father, married to Liat, three kids. My oldest son just finished his high school and ready to army.
To be an astronaut, you mean?
almost. It's still too early to go to the astronaut in our army. So I'm in Ramon for the last year. Most of my career was in commercial solutions.
Okay.
Just recently joined Ramon. I'm in space for some time now, four or five years in space.
Wow.
And really, really excited to bring space to many, many people. So in Ramon, we are really building technologies, building computer to space to really enable more and more entrepreneurs to go and build application and to make space much little bit easier to others.
Interesting. I like how you're saying making space easier to others. What does that mean?
It means, first of all, to be more access.
Okay.
Means if you just think about decades ago, only countries and government was using space. They spend hundreds of million dollars, go to those giant companies, and they will build satellite, etc. Of course, you can imagine if you have an idea how difficult it is. With those days, there are major changes happening on the space sector that make space available. I will just give an example.
Yeah, please.
Decades ago, just to launch 1 kilogram of equipment to space was $15,000.
$15,000 for one kilogram. So, like, and I'm sending up a steak, a 1 kilogram steak,
$15,000. Exactly. Okay. Now, of course, the option to do it was really limited.
Sure.
Those days, today, to send the 1 kilogram to space is $1,500.
Wow. So it's a fraction of the cost.
And there is a very clear trajectory to get into 500 per kilogram in the next 3-4 years with the major things that SpaceX is doing with the reuse of the launch. So multiple option, much lower cost. It's bring much new use cases and
sure.
actually make space more access to many, many new use cases.
Now, you know, I'm going to push back a little bit. Do we need access to space? I mean, is it good to give more people access to space? You know, at one point, you know, you just had NASA, right? Or I guess the Russians too, right? And, you know, that's who was managing it. Is it really good to do this?
It's a great question, Jordan. I will give you an example. I think a couple of months back, I did a lecture to my youngest daughter about space.
Okay.
And they asked me the same question. I told everyone, you know what? Open your internet and do Google Earth and try to see where is your school.
Okay.
And there was a mage to understand where are they, how they can locate the things. So yes, of course, yes. And even people cannot imagine that for so many times they are using space. Try to navigate from here to even to Sarona without the GPS. And GPS is a satellite system. So yes, make the space much more enabled to others, enable more use cases, enable developing things which are much better for each one of them. And the idea is not always coming from governments. The good ideas, the innovation is always coming from many, many people. So make a space available to many, many people will only do good things to all of us.
So it kind of sounds like with more access comes more innovation, even in our daily products that we're not even kind of aware of in that sense.
Yes.
So how is Ramon Space, you know, as an organization, as a venture, really, supporting kind of the space movement? And I could even say kind of supporting, you know, government organizations who are clearly still, you know, involved in the process, maybe to a lesser degree, but are still involved.
So Ramon is actually in a very unique position in which, from one hand, really well connected to those governments, association, all of the space agency around the world on those big projects. But from the other hand around, the trend that we see that the space become easier. Mm-hmm. I just mentioned before the launch cost, the option, etc. Now it's easier to bring your idea to space. You need to do something with it. Mm. And this is where Ramon is coming. We are developing compute space, compute infrastructure. So very similar on what's happening on Earth. You know, people have an idea and they start SketchUp, but then they will go to a computer to develop their application.
Right.
And same thing on Earth. So Ramon is actually taking place on building this infrastructure, enable computer for space, enable storage for space, enable how to move data between elements in space. And we are in the junction of this change on enabling more and more application to be built and use data that is generated for in space.
That sounds very topical right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially with our kind of sustainable push, right? The climate change, general moves forward in trying to understand, you know, defense and mobility and all this stuff. Now, I kind of also am interested to see from your perspective at Ramon Space, what do you see as kind of trends within that kind of space, right? Obviously, you guys are dealing with the data and that's very important, but you guys obviously have some larger idea of, okay, this is where, let's say, our data is going to be used. So what are you guys seeing as trends right
now? So the trends we see is that more and more sectors, kind of on Earth sectors, see space as a viable asset.
On Earth sectors, on Earth. I love it.
start to see space as a very interesting asset to use.
Okay.
And I will give two examples.
Sure.
The cellular sector, those days, you know, we are not really identify if our phone is connected over Wi-Fi, over LTE. It's phone in the next couple of years will use space,
right.
Use satellites.
Okay.
And just an example, on the last launch of Apple iPhone 14, they announced two major features.
Okay.
One, they eliminate the SIM.
Okay.
Very important and exciting feature.
Okay.
But the second one is sending messages over satellites.
So they're not. So it's not going to be over the cellular networks anymore.
No. So when if you are somewhere in the woods and you don't have any connection, you will just open your phone, connect directly to a satellite and send a message. It's become obvious. People, the user will not really see the difference, but this is a trend we see more and more on those consumer phone sector will use space as their a way to communicate. And we do see also a trend in, I would say, connecting remote areas. There are very difficult, people will be connected everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere, because there is a need to be connected. So we do see trends on connecting cars, connecting small fishermen in India, which they don't have any ability to connect. Those are the trends that that we see. And for all of those trends, it's clear you need to have computers.
Interesting.
And you need to have computers in space.
And you need to have data.
And you need to have data.
Of course.
And you need the data to be analyzed quickly. You want to take decisions quickly. Take an example today. You can take a picture or video
right.
through satellites, but then you need to send it all over to ground, analyze it, take a decision, etc. Now with the compute power that you have in space, you can implement AI and analytics and take decisions in space. So the decision will be much, much faster. You can have much better use of the data. So computing in space, AI in space, communication in space is really where we are going.
Interesting. Now, when you're talking also about AI in space, right? That's an interesting one I want to get into, because I think that's always like, you know, let's be topical right now. Everyone wants to know about AI. AI is like taking over the world, whether it's in startups, whether it's in medical, whether it's in God knows what, right? What does AI in space look like? You know, obviously when I say that, I think HAL 2001, right? You know, talking to me, trying to kill me, you know, whatever. But, you know, what does AI in space really look like? And what does that really mean today?
So I will give you a few real examples.
Okay.
There are satellites or service providers that take captures of photos
okay.
and send it over. But there are situations that the sky is covered by clouds.
Okay.
And the data, you cannot see anything.
Right, you can't get anything.
You can't get
cloud
anything.
Cover.
So all the data that you send is just
gone.
Unusable. Mm-hmm. So the ability to detect that you are above the cloud and store the data, or even filter the data, just make your data much more efficient. One example. The second example, you want to detect movement.
Okay.
Now think about...
Like movement for what? Let's say like military?
Military,
or
yes, exactly.
Fleets, transport, okay.
Today, sure. The space asset is mainly strategic, meaning okay. you see things that happening in a days. But if you want to have for a small units that it's actually more tactic, right. running from one point to other point, sure. and they want to, in a real time, understand if a tank move from one point to other point,
right.
you need to have much more real time. You need to have much more smart decisions,
uh-huh.
and you need to have those tools of AI uh-huh. to take the decision on the fly, on the satellite, and just give the soldier on the ground the decision.
The real time information in
exactly.
a sense, and it's able to kind of do that based on I guess AI vision, kind of understanding what the look on the ground looks like, even beyond the cloud cover or anything else that might be an obstacle.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
The same trend you see of how you use and analyze data on ground on Earth.
Right.
It's typically it's viable and relevant on space, because at the end of the day, you just have a kind of extension
right.
to what's happening. So all of those use cases, all of those tools, all of those technologies that actually are happening on ground
mm.
is relevant to space. And again, all of those you can do when you have a strong computers, you have all of the computation elements
right.
to implement your ideas.
Sure. And so we're not, basically what I'm understanding though is that AI is not at HAL yet. We're not getting there yet in terms of space, but there's another interesting thing you just brought up there, which is this whole kind of space ground connection, right? And this space ground connection that you're talking about is a lot of how our assets in space can basically help us on the ground here today.
Yeah.
What do you, obviously as someone in the space realm, what do you think about kind of getting off planet idea? Right. The whole idea that space tech is kind of trying to facilitate this move off the planet. Is that really something that you guys are looking at, or is it more kind of you guys are looking at it from how do we help ourselves here?
Exactly. So we see ourselves, how we help them. What are the tools? What are the product that we need to build to help all of those companies? But again, those companies are real. They're doing real things. I will mention the debris.
Mm-hmm.
The debris situation in space, again, 10, 15 years ago, was not a real issue.
Space debris being, just so everyone understands, just basically a bunch of crap that's floating up there in space and is there from, 50 years ago, 60 years ago
50,
even.
60, yeah. 10 years ago.
Right.
And I like to explain that, you have a road
mm-hmm.
and then you have a car stuck in the middle of the road. Now, if you have... a car that uses this road once in a week,
right.
once in a month, it's not really a problem.
But not a big deal. Right.
But if it's in highway and then there are a lot of cars using, then you need to remove it and put it somewhere.
100%.
So this is a real business. You need to track them. You need to somehow pull them to the right place. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of new businesses, when more data, when the space become much more accessible, more and more people put some asset up there. And then new use cases, new problems need to be resolved. So we are helping to all of those to make sure that they have the infrastructure they need to be able to do those new missions in space.
And kind of be successful at actually mapping all this type of stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes,
very
yes,
interesting. Yes. Now, I kind of want to also ask yourself, you talked about how you come from more of a commercial background, right? And you, that was much of your career. Now, obviously VP R&D at, a space company such as Remote Space, big opportunity, can totally understand why you would want to jump on that. You know what I mm-hmm. mean? But, how is it really moving from the commercial space to space, technology? Is it really that different? Or is the model, is the mission really that different? Or is it more or less kind of the same thing, just a different industry?
So the trend we see now, that space become commercially available to many companies, actually make it as a kind of a smooth change.
Okay.
Of course, you need to learn. There's...
Okay.
That are specific to space, but it's a nice question. If I look back into my not history, but a few other, so yes, I was in the consumer working for supplying solution for phones and then for infrastructure, and then actually I used space to build some good stuff solution. But this, when I'm building me and my team building the actual satellites,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of, I would say, methods, reused engineering, the product that come from the commercial that is applied to the space. But for space, designing for space, developing for space has its own unique things that you need to learn.
I'm sure that's a given, right? You know, because just like any industry, you have to learn like that specific industry's way of being. Yes. But would you say that like your background had no connection, had some connection to the whole
there
situation?
Very, very strong connection. Mm-hmm. Very. I must say that when I moved 4 or 5 years ago to space, a lot of the stuff that I did before was very, very relevant.
Okay.
To what I was doing again, and also in Ramon, very, very strong connection. So entrepreneurs, engineers that worked on non-space, getting into space is something kind of easy and smooth transition.
So let's even talk a little bit about that, right? Because, you know, like I was saying at the start, you know, there's a lot of opportunity here, right? There's a whole new world of space technology that, you know, I think a lot of people, when they hear it, you know, it just sounds sci-fi to them, mm-hmm. right? You know, it sounds like, you know, oh my God, I'm dealing with Star Wars. Yeah. You know, I'm dealing with Star Trek.
But it's not.
It's right here, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of my questions for you here is like, you know, you're obviously, you know, very, you know, tech-minded, and you have worked in multiple tech companies, and you've seen kind of the growth of, you know, these companies, founders, whatever, that you've seen the journey. How do you suggest, if someone's interested today as an entrepreneur getting into space technology, what are the processes or the pathways they can take to do that?
So,
not everyone's an astronaut, right? You know,
space is not only astronaut. I think there is a very good example of Israeli Steva that actually was the first Israeli that visited the space, not okay. as an astronaut. So,
right.
Space has become more access. So, entrepreneurs that want to get into space, first of all, of course, as any entrepreneur, they need to think about which problem they want to solve and what are the methods, and then how space can help them. There are some unique characterization of space that give some advantage of how to solve problems. For example, of course, you can see any place around the world very, very quickly because
sure.
you have a far away satellite.
Sure.
So this is first. Come with the problem, see how the space nation characterization can help you. And there are a bunch of conferences, people that are in space already, that it's easy for you to get into the space to understand. There are dedicated VCs that are really funding space companies. So data around space, learning about space is really, really available. You don't need specific to go to those national space agency to get start. The information, the recipe, how to get in is already available.
It's already available.
Yes, and there are many, many people that already start and doing. So you learning and getting to space is easy. And space, yes, as I mentioned, there are some differences, but at the end of the day, it's just a little bit far away from ground.
So I wish everyone thought of it like that. There you go.
Yes, yes.
It's just a little,
It's a, it's an extension
of the earth,
of the earth, and it's doable. Of course, it's harder.
Right.
Yes, and I like harder because it means more challenge.
Right.
But yes, definitely, it's available, it's accessible, and can be used for many use cases, and it's there.
Nice. So I also want to kind of go into a little bit more of the Ramon space journey, right? Now, Ramon space is named after
Ilan Ramon.
Okay. I wanted you to say it yourself. So, and it's named and being the first Israeli astronaut in space. And, you know, obviously with that type of namesake, a lot of responsibility, I would say,
yes.
a lot of honor too, a lot of interesting things going on there. How are you guys, you know, in a sense, in your mission, kind of trying to follow his mission, you know?
Okay. So first of all, we are very, very proud to have Ramon as part of our name. It's mm-hmm. actually, they have also a small piece of connected to us.
Okay.
We really take Ilan Ramon, I would say, characteristics
yeah.
to fit it into our culture,
uh-huh.
meaning the sky is not the limit.
Uh-huh.
Never give up, work hard. And this is, we are taking those into our day-to-day culture. The company did a very impressive journey. Mm-hmm. Company started in 2005, established in 2005,
wow,
as a kind of a strategic arm to the local Israeli government,
okay,
to build some strategic assets, strategic to build chips for space.
Sure.
And with this trend was able to actually build several chips that are flying all around the solar system. We have our chips and solutions in Jupiter, of course, in the moon. We have our computer. I think the most close satellite to space, mm-hmm, to the sun, mm-hmm, using our computer is, wow, it's still running.
Okay.
And the company actually evolved with a very nice I would say correlation to the trends I mentioned. In 2019 to 2020, mm-hmm, there was increased demand on this space,
right,
tech. There was a buzzwords of a new space.
Sure.
Going from the old day, very very slow.
Right. And probably just rocket based,
exactly,
and stuff like that. Right. Yeah.
The company did a little bit of a pivot,
okay,
and focusing now on building products and system,
mm,
to get into all of those opportunities. And this is, you know, the really, really demonstrate how the space become much more available.
Sure.
And how Ramon evolved to be able to provide not only chips, but full system, computers,
right,
storage,
right,
system, communication system to enable all of those. And we are continuing.
Yeah, for sure.
With this journey.
I mean, obviously you have to, right? So, you know, there's no way, as you said, sky's the limit. So you can't go back now.
Yeah, for all, because the sky's really not the limit.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now, you know, I was going to also wanting to know here a little bit, you know, obviously there's a lot of other companies out in the space too that people might be aware of, such as like, you know, Elon Musk, Starlink type of stuff, you know, or you know, Virgin Galactic doing their whole space thing. Do you guys collaborate with them? Is there really a kind of community like that in the space tech field? Or is it more just kind of like there's an ecosystem, you have the funding guys, you have the companies, and that's kind of it?
This ecosystem is very well connected.
Okay.
There is also food chain in the space segment.
Even so where do you guys fit in the food chain?
We are increasing our our level,
nice,
but we are providing computers.
Okay.
Think about what's happening on the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, there are a giant cloud provider.
Sure.
They are using elements of it. So we are the guys that are providing them the computers. So
sure,
there is ecosystem. Everyone is connected. There is a lot of customers. All of those names that you mentioned, we are collaborating them. Some of them are potentially our customer or our customer already.
Yeah. We'll get into that in another episode.
Yes, yes. And there is a community. There are specific conferences. So there is, I don't know if you know, Space University.
There's a Space University.
There is a Space
University. Is it on Earth, though?
It's on Earth. They have, at the end of the graduation, they can take a trip to space.
No, really? Oh, kidding. Wow, I was going to say.
So there is
I'm joining tomorrow.
There is a space community, space education system.
Okay.
And this is, and yes, Ramon is very well connected to this ecosystem. We're also bringing back to the community.
Sure.
And again, to close the loop with Ramon, there is Ramon Foundation, mm-hmm, which actually bring back to the community and educate young people. Ramon is very heavily involved in that, joining, teaching, and bringing back teaching what is space to those young people, to let them be excited and also join this in the future.
And are you seeing any, like, right now kind of developments coming out of those younger people, you know, that they have, in a sense, maybe really more of a mind for this than kind of the older generation that might still be stuck in, you know, race to the moon and stuff like that? Or is it kind of just, you know, people are really just opening up to this space and it's really just kind of a lot of potential? What are you guys seeing?
So still space is something special.
Okay. It's still okay.
And it's still,
it'll probably always be at a certain,
yeah, yes,
degree, you know?
You know, it's not like now, yes, it's special even for young kids.
Okay.
When you come and teach and explain, they are really, really excited.
Amazing.
I think this is also give them the ability to think and bring their ideas. But space is special.
Mm-hmm.
And very happy to be part of this special.
100%. I mean, listen, I can't imagine anyone who doesn't want to be part of it in a certain sense. I mean, you know, I think it goes back to what you said at the start. it's all about the access, you know, for, you know, decades, years, whatever, you know, it's been only for NASA or the smartest of the smart people, right? You know, in that sense, you know, the physicists of the world. And now in the sense you guys are saying, listen, it's not that it's not meant for those people still, but you can be in another field, in another product, in another space, and still use space and still get involved in the whole journey.
Yes.
You know, I want to kind of, you know, we're getting towards the end of the podcast, unfortunately.
We could sit here forever, I'm telling you.
And I want to, from you, I really want to kind of know, you know, you talked a lot about trends. You talked about working with partners, with the governments, how other spaces you can get into, dealing with young people. But, you know, and we even talked about how like entrepreneurs can even come about getting into space tech. Now, if you were going to be someone, you know, in an entrepreneurial space today, you're starting your startup, you're starting, you know, you're going to be a founder and you're jumping out in there. In your mind, what is the number one place in space technology today that that person could go into and, you know, make a big splash? I know it's a big question.
I know it's a big question. And again, I have my own favorite area.
All right, I was going to also say VPR and D at Remote Space definitely knows and has his own thing. But, you know, I mean, and listen, if that's also your answer, that's your answer. But it's more just kind of like, I think there's so much opportunity out there right now. And I think people really are, you know, it's almost overwhelming in that sense. So like, what would you say is like the place to start and maybe how could they start?
So again, I see the very strong needs on connecting people.
Okay.
Connecting people, connecting assets, connecting cars in a way. And this is where I do see the big opportunities coming.
Okay.
It's a new, it's a real extension of the communication that's happening on Earth. So I do see a lot of potential in connecting people using satellites for data that go through space, how you optimize data through space. And this is really a trend I do see. And this trend is not just my idea. We do see the real opportunity flying through us on those sectors.
And let me just ask too, you know, for anyone out there, does Remote Space support entrepreneurs coming out like that? Or is it more of kind of like you guys support them once there's a reason to support them?
No, we are startup, even though we established in 2005, but we are startup. So of course, when new ideas, and we are looking around, so we are supporting them when they are coming. Definitely, we help. This company is very well connected, so we are of course helping and welcome everyone to go reach out. And if you need anything, if you need a connection, idea, please. Yes, we are supporting, and I'm personally an entrepreneur. This is my third startup, so.
So you're all for it.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. I'm all it, you know, building something from scratch and see your child growing is something that you cannot replace. So
I imagine
more than happy to help. And this is where are we?
Amazing. Amazing. Moshe, thank you so much for your time. You know, I think you gave so much information for only 30 minutes on space. You know, it's hard and it's challenging to go into this entire field, which is kind of very just beginning, but also very vast. And I think you did a great job. I think it was amazing. And hopefully we'll have you back soon. And just, you know, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Jordan.
Awesome.
See you soon.